Off the Beaten Path by Michael Whitehouse. Narrated by Otis Gyre. Robert Francis started the day with purpose and verve, thrilled by the thought of no drive to work, no gray boring suit or stifled office air. He negotiated the sporadic city traffic with glee. He owned two other bikes, but for this adventure would rely upon his favorite and most trusted of wheeled companions. With a custom paint job reading Rob in large white letters across a frame of black, this was a bike which had never failed him. No bumps, no bruises, not so much as a punctured tire. His itinerary was set, and he was filled with excitement at the prospect of finally being on holiday. It had been more than 11 months since he had taken so much as an hour off from his suffocating suit and tie, so the thoughts of spending 8 whole days cycling through the Scottish wilderness with only his backpack and tent for company was frankly exhilarating. Within an hour, he had reached the city limits, breathing a sigh of relief as he left the world of work and sales targets behind. Most of his time was spent in the corporate office blocks of that gray place, but the countryside is where he longed to be, exploring the unbound wilderness. The unpredictable Scottish summer cast its unwelcome interruptions as the busy traffic gave way to winding country roads. It was colder than he had anticipated, but even this could not dampen his spirits. As he made his way through the open countryside, passing the occasional car and rural dwelling, a smile crept across his face. Cycling was his passion, and Robert was in his element. A couple of hours passed as the sparse yet vibrant green grassland soon surrendered to a more imposing and altogether impressive setting. Slight hills rose up to become domineering mountains. Pockets of isolated woodland soon weaved together into thick and impenetrable forests, and wide-open roads soon constricted into narrower, less-trodden avenues. For the past 3 months, he had been in a quandary about where to go on his adventure, which remote part of Scotland to explore. But when he passed over an old stone bridge with a babbling stream underneath like 1,000 voices whispering for attention, and found himself face to face with a forest covering hills, mountains, and valleys like a blanket, he knew he had made the right decision. A dirt road cut through the labyrinth of trees ahead, winding and twisting for miles. It occurred to Robert that, as he cycled further into the forest, the daylight above seemed to diminish with each panting puff of air, blocked by the huge pine trees on both sides, as if the sun were an unwelcome visitor. As the sky darkened, it became clear it was time to stop for the night, so, after spotting a gap in the trees not far from the road, he clambered through some thick underfoot and entangled bushes, hauling his bike and backpack behind him, looking for a suitable resting place. On reaching the clearing, and observing the broken and felled trees which encircled it, he set his tent up for the night on a small pitch of unassuming grass. Before long, he was sitting next to a roaring fire under the stars. Unimpeded by the false light of man, they shone bright and bold above. After a few hours of watching the warm glow of the fire, he reluctantly turned in for the night, excited by the prospect of another day's adventure, another day of distance between himself and the city. That night he slept soundly, but for one ill-defined dream of a noise in the darkness, growing louder with each breath. The next morning, he set off as soon as there was daylight. It had rained slightly during the night, and after cycling for an hour, Robert noticed a change in the landscape. It had become increasingly unkempt, less constrained. The trees seemed closer together, and any occasional gaps in the forest scenery were filled by clearings and small fields which had been left unattended for some time. It became clear that he had traveled far enough into the forest that he was now out of reach of even the park rangers who would normally maintain such a place. It seemed as though beyond that point the land had been neglected by its carers. The thought that even those familiar with that wilderness were afraid to tread there weighed on his mind momentarily before being quickly dismissed as a flight of fancy. The sky dulled as the day wore on, and it was clear that rain was on its way once more. After pushing his bike up a steep incline, which he felt was too uneven to cycle on, Robert reached its peak, revealing another breathtaking change in front of him. The land spread out to the horizon, sprawling forward between pockets of woodland and stagnant pools of water, slumbering in a deep-set valley which stretched across an ancient basin for miles below. With brooding storm clouds above, he looked down at the valley and decided it would make sense to set up camp early. Not a half hour later, he had descended and stood in a wide circle of grass, and after putting his tent in place, all that was left was to gather some firewood. The only problem was that Robert had picked a camping spot dominated more so by bushes and shrubs than trees. He would have to venture out across the valley and find what he needed from one of the wooded areas nearby. A collection of pine and fir trees, which formed an isolated island of woodland about a half mile across, was close enough to the camp. After 10 or 15 minutes of trudging through the long grass, occasionally sinking his feet unwittingly into remnants of a marshy bog, Robert found himself at the edge of the woods. Its boundary was dominated by older trees, which had long since withered, covered by thick brown hanging moss, nature's own burial shroud. The broken trunks of once beautiful and majestic pines and sycamores littered the ground, open and rotting from the inside, not unlike a decomposing animal. It occurred to Robert that the woods seemed somehow out of place. The trees did not belong to the landscape as others did. The long grass, which characterized the entire area, seemed to thin out and change from a healthy natural green color to a morbid yellow-brown. As his thought ruminated, accompanied by an increasing sense of unexplainable dread, he realized that he was looking at a large dead ring of grass, which followed the tree line perfectly, encircling the pocket of woodlands as if marking the limits of a tomb. On their own, in a forgotten part of the world, many would have been cautious of such a sight, but Robert quickly shook off his initial sense of vigilance, finding the area intriguing, a place unlike any he had seen before. With a bold stride, he stepped over the woodland threshold into the dim light within. On the forest floor, he could see many relics of past trees slumped on the ground. As he continued inward, the canopy above grew increasingly thick with each step, sheltering everything from the rain. Scanning the ground for firewood, he looked up and noticed that, while it was daylight outside, the woodland trees were now blotting the sun from the sky. Had he not known better, he would have sworn it was dusk. At last, he found a collection of broken branches and logs, which were dry. Robert knew this was as far as he should go, as it was becoming increasingly difficult to navigate through the trees, which seemed to be growing closer together, their branches often interlinked and touching as if trying to keep those inside from escaping. "Don't be silly," Robert smirked to himself. It had started to rain, and although he could hear the drops of water pelting off of the leaves above, his surroundings were perfectly dry. It made sense to make his way back and get a fire started as soon as possible, because once everything was wet, it would prove increasingly difficult to do so. He quickly gathered the last of the wood up into his arms, but just as he turned to leave and follow his own tracks on the pine-covered floor out of the unnerving woods, something caught his eye. Several feet away, obscured by a ring of trees particularly close to one another, there appeared to be a strange arrangement of stones on the ground. Robert, being Robert, he just had to investigate. After clawing his way through a net of branches, he found himself staring at what looked suspiciously like a grave. Hundreds of uneven gray stones the size of a fist, and some, substantially bigger, had been piled on top of one another, about 3 feet wide, 7 feet long, and a couple of feet off the ground. It looked as though a mourner had marked the resting place of a body. A shudder crept up Robert's spine as he momentarily experienced a feeling of being watched, but quickly dismissed the fear, replacing it with curiosity. Nearby, he noticed that lying around the stones was a collection of randomly scattered belongings. Several empty beer cans lay strewn on the floor. A jumper covered in rotting leaves sat on the ground, while a sleeping bag, scraps of newspaper, and even some old food cans betrayed the grave for what it really was. Someone's campsite. Robert breathed a sigh of relief and surmised from his surroundings that a few students had probably been there in the summer, got caught in the rain, moving into the woods to remain dry. The stones were probably just placed there out of boredom, or even as a prank to creep out any passerby in the future. University summers really were great, Robert thought, casting a fleeting eye back to memories of summer trips with his friends. One thing about the stone configuration intrigued him, however. Sticking out between these two plain gray rocks on the side of the pile was a rock which appeared to be markedly different from the rest. Triangular in shape, it was wider than a human hand, smooth in places, and not dissimilar to black marble, tapering off to a dull point at one end. Before he really considered it with any degree of scrutiny, Robert dropped the firewood, bent over, and tugged at the stone. It felt polished and cold in his hands, but it seemed to not wish to leave its home, wedged as it was so tightly amongst the other rocks. Growing slightly exasperated, he wrapped both his hands around the stone, and finally, with an exerted judder backwards, was free. Staring at it intently, it looked suspiciously like an ancient axe head. Whether it was or not, Robert was not qualified to answer, but it certainly looked like a man-made object, and he could see chisel marks along its side. Perhaps the previous campers found it nearby and then used the rock in their construction without knowing of its significance. He was excited by the prospect, and knew instantly that on his return home he would ask a friend of his, who studied archaeology at university, whether it was what he suspected or not. After examining the object for some time, Robert was reminded by the sound of rain above that he really should make his way back to the campsite. Pocketing the stone, he bent over to pick up the firewood, but as he did so, he heard a noise. It appeared as though one of the stones on the pile had slid off and landed on the ground. A creeping sense of unease slowly started to exert itself upon his nerve, one which he could not explain. Picking up the firewood quickly, leaving the rest of the stones unmoved, he began to make his way back. With every step, something deep within was telling Robert that he was no longer alone, and worse, that he was being followed by someone in the woods. But with several nervous glances over his shoulder, he could see nothing. There were moments when he even fancied that he heard the sound of twigs and pines cracking underfoot, but again, no one was there. Breathing a sigh of relief, the tree line came into view, and Robert was filled with cheer, knowing that within a few moments he would be back out in the open air. But just before he reached the periphery of the woods, he heard a crack again. This time it was definite. It was louder than before, more pronounced, and accompanied by the hairs on the back of his neck rising in unison. He was convinced that someone was standing just a few feet behind, staring at him. Caught between the fear of knowing and the fear of not, he finally turned around slowly. Yes, there it was. He saw it. Only for a moment, but he saw it. An arm or a shoulder, something disappearing behind a tree nearby. Robert's mouth grew dry, making it difficult to swallow, and his heart started to thud deep within his chest.